time for a Bucko Minute with the top dog on the Pirates beat, Noah Hyles, Post-Gazette. He's in San Francisco, where he watched Mitch Keller start last night on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. By the way, listen to whoever's hosting Pomp and Joe on Wednesdays. Tomorrow at noon, you can find out about Starkey's Card of the Week, brought to you by the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. 937thefan.com is where you enter that contest. All right, Noah. We've been at this for a while now, for weeks. You have told us things like, more likely than not, Mitch Keller is going to get traded. You wrote something to the contrary this morning. Explain the new information and why you think Keller is now going to stay put with the Pirates.
Yeah, from my understanding...
By the way, very nice hotel room.
Thank you. From my understanding, it sounds like the Pirates are trending more toward looking to move Keller in the offseason. I think that they still believe they can get a big league bat for Mitch Keller. And it's just, you know, that's a tough thing to acquire from a team that's looking to win a pennant. That's a team that's fighting for the postseason. Typically, those teams aren't looking to give away young, controllable hitters. So unless they're blown away, I think that Keller's going to stick around here for the remainder of the season. I still don't think there's a high likelihood that he's on the opening day roster next year.
What's your definition of blown away?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have an exact definition, but I think that they want to move Mitch Keller for someone they know can be an everyday starter for them, someone who has established success. I don't think they want Mitch Keller for just a top 100 prospect. I think if they get multiple top 100 prospects, that could sway them. I don't know for sure. But I think the goal for Mitch is to move him for a hitter equivalent of who Mitch Keller is as a pitcher. And teams aren't giving that up mid-season. So I think their stance is, let's hang on to him. Let's try to move him in the offseason, where teams are far more likely to move that type of asset because they can reconstruct their lineup through free agency or other trades compared to now, where their options are limited.
How cognizant, Noah, are the Pirates of the fact that Keller's value in some ways could be less in theory in the offseason if other teams who are contending now stop contending and look to deal assets in the offseason, similar to Keller, where he might not be the obvious most capable starting pitcher on the market? And also, how cognizant are they of the fact that he has faded as a career kind of theme in the second half, in the late months of seasons, the last 2 months of seasons, to the point where he doesn't look like nearly the same pitcher? Because I would wonder about both of those variables in making a trade him in the offseason decision versus trade him now.
I think they're cognizant of all of those variables, but I think they have to weigh everything that you just listed versus what is a realistic offer that they can get from Mitch Keller right now. I think, like I've said from the beginning, they set their price for Mitch Keller. And if that price is met, then they will move him. But if they don't think that price is going to be offered, then they have to be prepared to keep Mitch Keller. And if that price isn't offered in the offseason, then Mitch Keller will be a Pirate in 2026 and will do this whole song and dance again at next year's deadline if they're not in contention. I don't think there is a con to keeping Mitch Keller either. Obviously, he brings you in a bat. Like, if he can improve your lineup by moving him, then you should do it. But if you can't get the hitter value equivalent of Mitch Keller, then you should hang on to him because he's still a good player and he has a lot of team control. So I don't think the Pirates are opposed to keeping him. I think they just view his value to be at a certain point. And whenever that value is offered to them in a trade, they're going to make that trade. I just think right now they believe it's not highly likely that they're going to get that value offered to them by Thursday.
So if the Nightingale report is true, you don't think the Cubs dangling their top hitting prospect who's at AAA is enough to get Mitch Keller?
I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what the Pirates are looking for. going off the logic that I reported, I would say probably not. I think they maybe want something a little bit more. I mean, if it's him and a couple of other prospects as well, maybe that changes. And I know that Owen Cassie isn't a big leaguer yet, but I would feel pretty confident that he'd be one of their best nine hitters in the organization if they were to bring him in. So there's something to consider there. It's just, or maybe this is just a tactic the Pirates are doing to try to drive up Keller's value. Maybe they do intend on moving him, and they're playing hard to get right now, and we see him moved on the final hour before Thursday's deadline arrives. It's hard to tell, obviously. I mean, all of this is here. You're hearing nuggets here and there, but I think their stance is they want they need an established hitter in this lineup. You can bring in young guys, and they're going to try to do that, but the team's really only going to take a significant step forward if they bring in a guy who has proven success as a hitter. And you can do that through trading Mitch Keller. I don't know if there's any other guy that they're willing to part ways with who could give you that type of return. So if that's the case, then you have to stick to that. And if it means passing up an opportunity to bring in a top 50 prospect because he's not as proven, then you have to make that choice.
How much should they get back, or do you think they're going to get back based on what you're hearing if they move, if and when they move David Bednar?
What I've been told is at minimum, they're looking for an organization's top five prospect. I think that's the bar. And I think they're hoping to get a little bit more from that. And you look at the teams they're connected with, that can mean a lot of different things, right? Like for the Tigers, for example, a top five prospect from that organization means you're getting a top 100 prospect in baseball. When you look at the Rangers, they only have one top 100 prospect in baseball, Sebastian Wilcott, and he's not going to be someone they're willing to move for a relief pitcher with just 1 year of club control. So you're probably getting someone a little less established in the prospect rankings. So maybe in that case, you're getting that top five prospect and then something else, maybe a platoon big leaguer that doesn't have a everyday spot on that club. I think they're looking to get, like I said, they're probably going to get something more on the youthful side for Bednar. I don't know if you're going to get the type of return that I described they're pursuing for Mitch Keller. I think they're open to any type of prospect. I think that could even net some pitching talent rather than a hitter for Bednar. And that move, I think, could lead to other moves down the line. If they were to acquire another elite pitching prospect, that could help them make other moves to acquire offense later on.
Is he getting traded? We've heard mixed things on this. Charrington on Sunday started talking about Bednar off the field, which I was shocked by, as if he gives a rat's ass about that. He's a analytics baseball guy. Who cares if he's taking pictures with people outside of a church or an elementary school? And then Zangrilli came on the air and Parado said the same thing, Noah, that Bednar acted Saturday night after he got that save like he was done. Like he was emotional. Yeah. He took pictures, that he was acting like a guy who anticipated this was it for him. So what's your take that on the likelihood of him getting traded?
I think he believes it's a high likelihood that he's getting moved. And I mean, from everything that I've heard, it sounds like that's the biggest move they're going to make. Is dealing Bednar. Is there a chance they hang on to him? I think maybe, but I think that chance is rather slim. I just think right now the market's so high on him, especially after Class A is no longer available, that value goes up. And you look at what he would be paid in arbitration next year, it's probably going to be higher than what he's making this year, right? So that adds another factor into it where you can get something for a valuable player and you can create a little bit of room to spend more money in the offseason by doing so as well. So I think it's a move that makes sense. As far as Charrington saying what he said about Bednar, I mean, you got to think this is his number one success story since he's arrived in Pittsburgh. This is the top player. This is the only player that he has acquired through a trade that has made an all-star team since taking over as the Pirates GM. And he's only, I believe, drafted one other guy that made an all-star team, and that's Paul Skeens. So he's got to have a good connection with David Bednar. He has to be appreciative for everything that Bednar has done for the organization and everything that he's been willing to go through, including, you know, getting option, losing his closer role, the way he's handled it all. I think he's just kind of voicing that appreciation because he also knows there's a high likelihood that David Bednar is going to be wearing a different uniform by the end of the week.
Noah, maybe the most important question from Brent in our YouTube comments, who said, "This guy, meaning you, looks like Paul Skeens, doesn't he? He would win a lookalike contest. He just needs stilts." Do you agree? Have you ever been mistaken for a shorter Paul Skeens?
No. I can relay that over to Paul. I don't think he would agree with that. I think we have similar facial hair, maybe. But that's it. I mean, neither of us have like the best hairlines, but I don't see any other resemblance there.
No, last year we had Priester for York, which York's done nothing, and Priester needed to get dealt again, and he's doing well with Milwaukee, but that was kind of unorthodox. Do you give us something maybe out of left field that the Pirates could do tomorrow that's not trading IKF Andrew, or Thursday, trading IKF Andrew Heaney, Tommy Pham because they have to?
I could see a similar move with the same organization. I mean, the Orioles need pitching. The Pirates need hitting. Both of them have a logjam of guys at the AA, AAA level who you look around and you say, well, where do they fit in necessarily? Especially if the Pirates continue to have success in finding, you know, waiver claims and turning them into valuable players and signing these one-year free agents and turning them into valuable starters and relievers like they've done. I think it could make sense if they were to move one of their younger arms, not named Paul Skeens, a guy like Mike Burrows or Braxton Ashcraft. If you could get the hitter equivalent for one of those guys, I think that's worth exploring. I haven't heard any interest on the Pirates end of doing such a thing, but I mean, they didn't talk a ton about doing that last year when they moved Priester or when they moved Patrick Riley for Billy Cook. Could we see them do another thing like that this year? A true baseball trade, young, unproven arm for young, unproven bat. I absolutely think that that could be something that gets done. I don't think it's the highest thing on their priority list right now, but I wouldn't discount it.
Noah Hiles. Go ahead, Mulsey.
I was just going to say, how much does Ben Cherington's performance at this deadline or perceived performance weigh into his job security or lack thereof moving forward? Because I assume the team's performance will be weighed heavily in any decision that's made. But what about the way he handles this deadline, Noah?
I think it'll help if he does well, right? I think the optics of it all are going to play a little bit of a part in it, right? If he brings in someone, if he trades away David Bednar, a guy that he knows his boss really appreciates, right? But Bob Nutting has gone out of his way to prevent Bednar from getting traded before. So if he moves Bednar and the return comes in and
how about that little?
Yeah, wait, you kind of just hold on a second.
I've reported that.
Calling a timeout. Calling a 20-second timeout like I'm Jamie Dixon.
Are there more details into that?
No, I've written that. That's been something I've reported months ago, that they tried to move him earlier and ownership stepped in and said they don't want to do that.
Like how many years, like we're talking years in the past, or like they tried to move him?
To my understanding, it was prior to the 2024 season.
Okay. Very interesting.
So, look at you, Noah.
This is a guy that the organization has tried to move, but the ownership has stepped in, said, we like this guy. So when you're moving him now, you know that if the return doesn't look good early on, it's certainly not going to help your case. Now, I don't think that that's going to weigh more than other factors, such as the team's overall performance or everything else that's occurred prior to that move, but it certainly won't do him any favors. Whereas if they move Bednar and the trade return looks really good, and that goes for every other move they make. If Cam Devaney comes up and plays better than what Adam Frazier would have played for these last 2 months, then that's going to help him. All of these things. At the end of the day, it comes down to, does this team look like it's going into the offseason just a couple of hitters away from being competitive? And I think if that's the case, and if they continue to play better, then Cherington's safe. But I really do think his future's up in the air right now, and it will be impacted one way or another by the moves he makes this week.
Noah Hiles in San Francisco, man on the scene. Pirates and Giants tonight, trade deadline Thursday at 6. Thank you, Noah.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right.